We pray. Lord of all mercy, God of all grace, in your overwhelming love, you sent your Son to bleed and die and rise. In your overwhelming grace, you have warned us the day is coming quickly, that we might prepare, that we might be ready, that we might welcome you anew in all your glory and goodness. And so prepare our hearts and lives through your loving, holy message, that we might sing your choruses now and forevermore. Amen. California is burning. Can you imagine what that would be like if you were in California during one of those fires? Flames as high as this building, stretching out for miles and miles. Pretend for a second that you live there and the fire was coming over the mountain behind your house, cresting over the top of the hill. You could smell the smoke. The ash was falling upon you. And right in front of your house is a road clogged with traffic. Such a traffic jam that no one is moving anywhere. And here comes the fire. You can feel the heat. What do you do? What would you do if you had a fireproof house? Your house kind of looked more like a bomb shelter than anything else. You specifically built it with all the materials impervious to fire. Then what would you do? Would you run out to the fire and start directing traffic? Would you lock the door and go in and watch Wheel of Fortune in peace and quiet? Or would you cry out to the people, "Get out of your cars, hurry, run to my house before the fire consumes you"? Well, there is a global fire coming. And we who see it call out into the wilderness. We call out because there are so many standing by the side of the road, motionless in unbelief. And they will be incinerated with that fire. What are we to do? Cry out from our safe house, the fire of the Lord. The fire of the Lord. A fire unlike anything ever known on the face of the earth. To a certain extent, we're living Noah's life all over again. You know, remember, 120 years Noah was building that ark, and throughout those 120 years of nailing wood together and putting in pitch and tar and everything else, he was calling out to his people, "There's going to be a global flood." Oh, that's a good one, Noah. You're so naive, so innocent. There's not going to be any flood. There's going to be a flood. And for 2,000 years, Christians have been building the Christian church by sharing that glorious gospel and bringing people from every corner of the world into the house of God, into his holy church, and crying out, "Judgment day is coming. There's a global fire that will descend upon us." I wonder what Noah felt like on that day when the last nail went in, the last cup of pitch and tar was applied to the ark, and it was finished. When all of a sudden, miraculously, the animals came out of the woods two by two and walked up the gangplank and found their place in the ark. I wonder what he thought. As the hooves were clomping on the wood boards, could he at that moment kind of imagine in his ears what it would sound like when the people start screaming, when God closes the door of the ark and opens the floodgates, and people are taking Noah seriously, but too late, and there is such screaming by the people? I wonder if Noah stood in that doorway in those final moments and one last time cried out to the people, his friends and extended family out there, come in, quick. The judgment is coming, the judgment of God. Only to see them reject him. Can we already hear the cries of the unbelievers when judgment day hits? Oh, they will pray for the mountains to bury them. What a horrific day that will be for them. Now is the time to take shelter. Take shelter in the house that God has provided, his holy church, under the protection of his word, his sacraments, his presence with us to shield us and protect us from that day of days. The Christian church is much like Noah's ark to lift us up above the coming destruction. And so it's so important for us to cry out to our family members, our neighbors, our friends in these last hours to come into the safety of his church. Many churches today don't preach and teach that there is a final day called judgment. They have caved into the pressure of the world to say, who is God to judge? God isn't going to judge us. He's no judge over us. Actually, we're the judge of all things, even God. And God, if you want to be our God, you better be the kind of God we want you to be. Otherwise, we're not going to pay you any attention. What blasphemy. The sinful egotism knows no limit. Paul, on the other hand, says that the insults, the beatings, the hatred that the unbelieving world gives to the Christians, he says, is evidence that God's judgment is right. God is just. There's no neutral zone with God. Either we are an unbeliever and therefore an enemy of God, or we are a believer and therefore a child of God. There's no in between. Paul writes to the Romans, for although they, that's the unbelieving Gentiles, knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So worthy of God's punishment. God is going to judge the unbelievers for their lack of faith. They may scream, unfair, foul, as much as they like, but God still has the right to be God. And as God, he sits in judgment of all the people he has created. Contrary to people's opinion, God will send every unbeliever to hell. Many churches, again, don't even preach the existence of hell. They come up with the idea that hell was something invented by church fathers long ago just to keep the cold hand of fear around the necks of their people. Well, contrast that with what Paul writes. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out of the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Wow. Jesus will come in blazing fire to punish. To punish with everlasting destruction and with eternal abandonment. That sounds like judgment day in hell to me. I have noticed that there's kind of a change in perspective by a lot of the people of the world. When I was a kid and we talked about the end of the world coming, the world by and large kind of laughed and said, This world is going to last for billions and billions of years. It will probably go on forever and ever. That doesn't seem to be the sentiment today. Scientists and so many people today are prophesying that, Earth is going to be uninhabitable in 15 to 20 years. We have to get off to Mars, they tell us, in order to survive. Really? I have trouble following their logic. And yet they're very serious. Is our planet starting to look like the surface of the moon? You know, has there been a global drought or the Black Plague where things are dying in massive amounts? Is there a fungus killing off all the vegetation in the world? Is there a poison that is fouling all the waters of the seas and the oceans? Is our world today all that different than our grandparents' day in regard to sustaining life on the face of the earth? I don't know what to make of all that, but I wonder to myself, I wonder if God perhaps has taken out this false confidence that the world is going to keep on going forever and ever and ever and replaced it with a dread, a doom, an awareness that this world is coming to an end soon. This world is coming to an end soon, and it won't be by climate change. Judgment Day is nearer now than it ever has been. Our safe place is not on the face of Mars. Our safe place is rather in God's church, His child, in His family. So cry out from the safety of your house, the fire of the Lord, the fire of the Lord. Raise the panic cry. The fire will come, but it will not consume God's people. No. God, who has made us His children by His grace, has remarkably also made us worthy for the kingdom of heaven by His grace. Paul writes, "You will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering." Are not the children of the Father worthy to enter the house of their Father? And there's the miracle. There's the mystery of God's grace, that we who once were enemies and estranged from God have now been made His children, His heirs. We who were worthy of the deepest hole in hell are now worthy to enter His heavenly home, all because of His grace. He's made us anew. Paul says that Jesus is returning to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. We don't come to church in order to look at God like some lion in a zoo. We come to marvel at His saving grace, just as the angels in heaven marvel at His magnificence. We come to thank and praise, serve and obey Him because we are His children, and He so richly deserves our worship and our devotion. Jesus welcomes us home where we are safe from the coming judgment. And oh, how marvelous that is. How marvelous that day will be when He actually tears open the heavens and comes in all of His glory and takes our breath away. I suspect that Noah cried tears of great joy as his ark was bobbing in all that water. Tears of joy that God had spared him and his family from His judgment. Never wish God's judgment on anyone. For His heavy hand of judgment is a terrible thing. Rather rejoice that His hand of judgment fell upon His Son on the cross so it would not fall upon you and me. We too will cry tears of pure delight when our Savior comes in all of his glory, when he comes back for the second time. We will not be able to contain our joy and our delight, but rather burst into a song of salvation that will continue for all eternity. People say that whatever happens in California sooner or later spreads all across America. California's on fire. And soon everything will be incinerated with the fire of God's wrath. Everything except the people of God. We stand safe in his grace, in his protection. And so we commit everything into his care and keeping. But oh, how that gives us ears to hear the warning of Scripture. As Scripture says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen.